Again to 2 Chronicles, and so thankful for these studies God has given us in these two perfect-hearted kings. And you have to remember, there were 30-some kings, and a few of them did good, a lot of them did bad, but two of them, and it said that they followed all the ways of their father David. I always loved that. Always went back to that line, always went back to God's choice of the man whose very heart was after my very own. And isn't that wonderful? It didn't say he was the man that had the best actions. It wasn't the man that was the most religious. It wasn't the man that did the best works, because we know David didn't do some things. Well, David did some things. Let's put it that way. Just like you all, just like me, we've done some things, all right? We'll do some things. But the benchmark was the heart. There was a perfect heart. Complete is that perfection. It was full. It was overflowing. It understood the love of God. And it understood the love of God always. And even David knew that he couldn't be separated from it. See, God was faithful to reveal that to David. You read the Psalms. It's very clear. It was mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And then David began to really praise the Lord and the revelation of the Holy Ghost, because that's what the Lord does with the Holy Ghost, is he reveals the truth, even to the ones in the Old Testament. He was with them, and he is now in us. Isn't that amazing? But what they could understand, it still had to be, again, by the power of his might, still had to be by his spirit. And so how wonderful that the Holy Ghost caused David to see such depths and to be preaching such depths. Amen? And then preaching such mystery in the depths that yet he could not even look into, that they wrote those things for us. That's just beyond glorious, isn't it? Praise his name. But we left off last week seeing one of those glorious types that the Lord has been bringing forth to us, that we see Hezekiah and we see Josiah. And Hezekiah, as we have stated many times, he represents, in a sense, in some of the types and shadows, the metaphors that we see through him, we see the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And then in the life of Josiah, and they weren't that many years apart, but we see in his reigning, we see many types of the full overcomer of the New Testament. We see what God has for us. And so the thing that we were speaking of last week here in chapter 29 was when Hezekiah became king and he opened the doors of the temple, and it said that he threw them open. The very first thing that he brought into that temple, as we read in the 16th verse, it says he brought in the priests. The priests were the first ones that Hezekiah brought in. Well, the full overcomers of the Old Testament, those are the priests. It's wonderful. And we're so thankful. There's a representative of that, is what I'm saying. And in that representation, you see, is in the 24 elders that are around about the throne in Revelation 4. The very first company that's seen in Revelation 4 follows suit right with the word of God, which is the company that right now is in heaven with the Lord. It's the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And we're thankful to God that it was right there in Matthew that it said some of the graves were opened. Amen. Not all of the graves of the saints were opened, but some of those graves were opened, and they were resurrected, and they were taken up into heaven. They entered into the city of God. And we thank the Lord that in John chapter 3, verse 29, well, go ahead and turn there. John chapter 3, 29. And I love this verse, and I know you do too. So we have the Old Testament full overcomers that are with their friend Jesus in heaven right now. And it says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Does he got you? Amen. Oh, come on now. Has he apprehended you? Yes, he has. Amen. He's apprehended you. So the bride, he has, the bridegroom has that bride. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him. See, there you go. They hear him. They're up there with him. They rejoice greatly. Why? Because of the bridegroom's voice. They're excited about what he loves. They're looking forward for him to receive, praise God, what he's waiting for. That's what a true friend does. They really love what he loves. And it says, they rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now it's specifically not just about what he loves, but about when he calls to her. Amen. Now we're over there in Thessalonians, aren't we? Praise God. The blast of the archangel, that cry of his voice, the trump of God. This is it. This is what those full overcomers of the Old Testament, those 24 elders around about that throne right now, this is what they are waiting for. They're waiting for the voice of the bridegroom. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. This is what will complete him. As it says in Colossians chapter 1, Paul's gospel completes the word of God. It fulfills the word of God. It completes Jesus. He's not yet complete without his wife. He's not yet complete in glory without her. He's not complete yet in ruling and reigning as God without her. Do you see how purposeful our life is for the Lord? And just as purposeful, because without her, it cannot go forward. He must have his wife. That's why the manifestation of the sons of God, the mature sons, the manifestation of the bride of Christ, the apocalypse, the unveiling, all of creation groaneth for that moment. And I'll tell you who's really grown in his friends that are with him right now. Thanks be to God. And thank the Lord that you see that. And thank the Lord for what you see. And if others don't see it, thank the Lord for what they see. But you don't need to argue. And I'm not going to beat somebody down or continue to tell something to someone that I know is not going to receive that. I would be wrong in that. But I thank the Lord. There's a little portion here that loves to feed on that truth. And thank the Lord you do. Oh, thank you. Now, the priests that he brings in, that's the priestly number 24. How wonderful. Those are the elders that you see round about that throne. Now, Josiah, when he restores the temple, now you jump over to to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 9, what was the first thing he brought in? It was funny. He brought in the money. It's kind of funny to think of that in a way if you just looked at it and said, what do you mean he brought in the money? Well, it had a deeper meaning than that, didn't it? He brought in the gold, but there was even another translation, which is the best of the best. He brought in the thing that was longed for. Isn't that glorious? See, for us, as the pearl of great price, as the event which all creation is groaning for, the manifestation of the sons of God, that's Romans 8:19. Amen? Right after that we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, together with him. Amen? If we suffer together with him, right after that follows, and all creation groaneth for the manifestation of that bride, of that one that will rule and reign jointly together with him. Amen. So this is the thing longed for, and praise be to God, we see that all of heaven's attention is waiting for that moment. We read that here in John 3:29, that the friend of the bridegroom stands to hear him, waiting for his voice, for his joy to be fulfilled. Isn't that glorious? Hallelujah. So, but it even gets better than that. Now, there's more in this Josiah, and there's more, praise God, for us in all of these things. I'm telling you, the layers. Thank you, Jesus, what we have here. Now, let's go back in memory, if we will. when we studied the stones in the walls of the New Jerusalem, okay? Now turn with me over to Revelation 21. That's Revelation 21. Now, in Revelation 11, what's happening is John is taken into heaven, all right? And he has to look up. And what's going to be revealed to him right now is the bride adorned, New Jerusalem, and she's descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. So here she is. The bride is being presented to all. Hallelujah. But the beauty of it is now this city, praise God, is representative of the church. So we have the church. We have, obviously, we have the bride. She's the focal point of it. She has the very glory. She's the light of it. Hallelujah. And then we have such a garment, the righteousness of saints. It's beautiful. She's beautifully clothed. She has the innumerable multitude. She's got the 144,000. The church is complete. And praise the Lord, here she is descending. Well, the walls of that city are described. And if you go on over to verse 19, we start to see the wall, the jewels of the walls of the city, the foundations of it, if you will. And in verse 19, it says, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones." And I said, follow along here with me, because this is going to go right back to where we are in 2 Chronicles 34 with Josiah, as he brings in the thing that is longed for. And what the thing is longed for sees, okay? So the first three stones that we see here on the first foundation are jasper, sapphire, and chalcedony, okay? Keep your finger right there, because we're going to go right back there in 1 second. And let's go back to 2 Chronicles 34. And let's read verse 9 together, all right? Now, this is Josiah, and this is when he opens the doors of the temple, when he restores it, because remember, such wickedness came back in and destroyed it all. They brought in the idols. They brought in all those things. But the Lord encouraged that little 8-year-old king as he grew. Son, we're going to bring back the word. And it's going to be in its fullness. So in verse 9 it says, "And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered," now listen to this, "of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem." So now going back to Revelation 21 and verse 19, I want to talk about those three stones that we see there, all right? The very first stone that we saw in 19 is jasper. Jasper is the stone that was in the breastplate of the priest in the Old Testament. And that jasper, praise God, was for the tribe of Benjamin. All right? I think we just read of Benjamin, didn't we, right there at the door. Amen? Now, secondly, we see the sapphire. And this is kind of an interesting situation here, because the sapphire back in the Old Testament was the jewel or the gem for the tribe of Dan. But who replaced the tribe of Dan in Revelation chapter 7? It was Ephraim. So that's his stone now. So now we have Benjamin and we have Ephraim. The very first layers of the foundation. The very first things that are being brought in. These are the very first things that are being seen as the bride is coming down from heaven. All right? And then finally we see this chalcedony, which is basically the black onyx. And that was the stone of Joseph. So praise be to God, what we have are all the stones, if you will, of Benjamin and Joseph, and Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And the high priest, praise God, these were the last three stones, the last three stones that the high priest had on his breastplate. And now everything's flipped, because the last shall be first. These are the first three stones. And remember this,
Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. Those were from the offspring of Joseph, and from who else? Rebekah. Amen. Rachel. Rachel. And they were the preferred. Those were the first choice. Joseph got the double portion in both of his sons. Do you see how beautiful the bridal type is here for Josiah? See, everything's first, everything's more, everything is that wonderful bridal type as it comes through here. So these are the heirs of Joseph and Rachel, the preferred first choice, the best again, and this is what's really sweet too. As you come into this city and as you come into these first three stones, and this is important, that first side, this is now the east side, if you will. And the east side represents, again, the first choice. The opening of the entrance to the tabernacle was on the east side. Well, in the Old Testament, on the east side, were not those three tribes. It wasn't Manasseh, it wasn't Ephraim, and it wasn't Benjamin. It was Zebulun and Judah and Issachar. All right? So, again, those three that were Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim, they were on the complete opposite side when they set up around the tabernacle. I'm kind of jumping a little bit here on you. But when they set the tabernacle up in the wilderness, you had a north, south, east, and west, all right? The east side was actually the entrance into the tabernacle, all right? On that, as we said, we had Zebulun, Judah, and Issachar. On the complete opposite side, which was the west side, that's where we had Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin, all right, were on that side. So they were in the furthest away from that. But if you think about how the tabernacle was arranged with the Holy of Holies, they were the closest to the Holy of Holies. They always had the better part. They always had the sweeter place. But see, as things got rearranged, as what was given to us, which was a better thing, those three tribes are no longer on the backside. Those three tribes are on the entrance. And it's just, it's such a beautiful thing. The other thing about those stones, the jasper, the sapphire, and the chalcedony, of all the stones that were on the breastplate, those are the hardest stones. The hardest stones are always the most valuable stones. So there was always, again, that encouragement as we went there. It's going to get a little bit better, so kind of hang on here as we go along. Now, on the opposite side in the tabernacle, on that west side, as I said, back in the Old Testament, that was the side of the ox, okay? It wasn't the side of the lion because Judah was at the door, all right? But that was the side of suffering. So isn't that interesting how the side of suffering became the first? If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. It's so beautiful. How all of these types and shadows and layers continue to come on to this. So what we have here is everything's been changed and rearranged. This is all about his glory and his full grace. This is all about his first choice. This is all, again, about the suffering truly to reign. And we thank the Lord that, praise be to God, this is the place that he's given to us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I hope that touches you, that we have that little part. But in all of these things that we'll study, and as we go on tonight with Hezekiah, you're going to see, by the grace of God, such apparent beauty of how the Lord has woven in all of his scripture the I love you after I love you after I love you for you. It's of kings to search out a matter. See, we can speed read through the word of God. We can do these things. But I love when the Lord stops us. And if the Lord tarry for Sunday, please come. You're going to see a stop that the Lord gave your pastor. He gave us all, praise God. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to see thanks in a whole different light on Sunday. I believe you will. But getting back to Hezekiah, let's go on with that. So turn on back to the 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And what transpires now after he opens the temple and opens the door of the temple and all of that. What goes on now is we're going to see more glory of the perfect heart kings. And brothers and sisters, the heart of the Lamb of God, the bridegroom's heart, is the perfect heart king. You understand that? And see, the perfect heart king is not just in the bridegroom. The perfect heart king is in the bride. We think alike. We move alike. We're seeing the same things. We're anticipating our day, praise God. We're already married, but we're going to get a wedding day. You understand that? We're going to get a feast. We're going to get a honeymoon. The Word of God tells us all these beautiful things in the Song of Solomon and all of these different places. But here in the 29th chapter and verses 18 and 19, and remember, Hezekiah, what was the first thing he brought in? The priests, right? So the priests went in, they opened the temple doors, and now let's go ahead and read what happens, all right? In verse 20, it says, "Then Hezekiah, the king, he rose early, and he gathered the rulers of the city, and he went up to the house of the Lord." I want you to just meditate on that just for a second, and then we're going to go back in. We're going to do a little word study here, because you have to, of what these words mean in the Hebrew. It says, "Then Hezekiah, the king, rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord." If you do have a pen, whether it's on a paper or if it's on your Bible, this might be something to really write in here, something to remember, and I pray the Lord will write it upon your heart. I know it's already there, but this is another, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Now, the king rose up early. Do you remember what Hezekiah's name means? The strength of Jehovah. So the strength of Jehovah rose up early. Well, brothers and sisters, the strength of Jehovah is the Holy Ghost. And on the glory dawning morning, praise be to God, there's going to be a rising up early, isn't there? Hallelujah, don't you think? Praise his name. Well, what did he do when the strength of the Lord rose up early? It says he gathered the rulers, all right? Now that word "gathered," what it means is he removed and harvested, and the rulers mean the rulers of God. It also means the choice rank. So the king rose up early in the morning, and it's the power of that king. And what he did is he harvested the choice rank. I love when the Bible reads about me. How about you? Amen. All by the grace of God. So he rose up early and harvested the choice rank. But there's more. And it says that the rulers are the choice rank of the city. And this is so beautiful. Get this. The word "city," it translates excitement. The choice rank of excitement, of joy, of anticipation, of first love. Is that you? Is that what you anticipate? Is that what we live for every morning? Lord, are you coming today? Is that why we come to Bible study, to hear about the bridal truth? As opposed to trying to hear about application and how my flesh is going to navigate through this life? What a waste of time. Because you'll never figure it out. Because you'll think you'll figure it out and get it figured out, and then you'll have another bump. I want to live on the hallelujah side. I want to thank the Lord, and I want to live in the anticipation of what my forever is going to be. I want to live in Canaan now. We've sang that song quite a few times, have we not? Do you really know what that means? I'm living in Canaan now? Amen. But is your heart there? Is your first love there? Is it your reality? I mean, come on. When he said that he'll perform the good work which he's begun in you, what does that mean to you? How predestinated is that? Really? Truly? "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you." That's how predestinated it'll be. So if you truly don't lay hold of that, that's not your predestination. It's not. It can't be, can it, brother? Or the word of God would not be true. It's "as thou hast believed." And I thank God for the faith of the Son of God that lives in my life. This is what it believes. And this is what it will believe. It will believe the whole counsel of God. It will believe the truth. It won't hesitate at it. Let it go. Run. Praise God. It still has to be made manifest, just like the Lord's life. He's born a babe. Then he had to be 12 years old in that temple. Then he had to have all of those quiet years, and then he hit 30, and then he was going to do those miracles, then he was going to shut them down, and then he was going to be offered up on a cross. It all had to come forth. Your life all has to come forth. Praise the Lord. And I thank God we get the privilege of living the manifestation of the Word of God. Isn't that incredible? Thank the Lord. And I believe that's the greater thing that Jesus said that we would do than he. He saw it all sitting at the right hand of God before he was made lower than the angels. And here we are. I didn't start there. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. How about you? You think it had to take a lot of the power of his might to bring faith into our lives to believe this? How great was that? What do you think? Hallelujah! Truly! Thank the Lord! Oh, thank the Lord! It's marvelous, saints. This is what makes him happy. This is his joy that was set before him. He's sitting there grabbing the Father, saying, they get it. And the Father said, son, I've always known it. And the Father knows when. And the Father knows when. Oh, he's the most romantic. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, to know who we are in Christ, saints. To know what his grace in us will bring to him and brings to him now. The reward, the rejoicing, the happiness for our Jesus. Praise God. We'll be reading on it Sunday. We give him glory. We give him honor. And we give him thanks. And then those 24 elders, they echo back, oh, thou art worthy to receive glory. Because he's receiving his glory, because he's receiving her. And they echo back, thou art, oh, worthy to receive thy honor. But then the next thing they say is power. They don't say thanks, they say power. Because without her, he never would receive the throne as God.
Thank you, Lord.
Without her, and I love her, the violent take it by force. That's power.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Do you know how powerful his love is in you? It's holding back everything right now. Yes, it is. That love. Praise you, Jesus. So getting back to, he's gathered up. That means he's harvested the choice rank of the excitement. The ones that finish with a full joy. Huh? Isn't that what that really means to you? I believe it is. All right, the first love taken, and then I love this. It gathered the rulers of the city and went up. Isn't that beautiful? Well, went up, it means to be taken up. It means to be carried up. And it means to be exalted. He's going to take her to all those things. Well, let's go ahead and read Romans 8:19 together. Just so it's not a reminder, saints. It's just the bridegroom's voice to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, or all creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. There it is. That's the apocalypse, right? The apocalypse means the unveiling. That's all that's for. Now Revelation comes into full knowledge of what that's all about. You. Praise God it is. Yes, it is. The bride for the Lamb. This is what it's about. And I thank the Lord. Now, only the Lord could do this. And this is what's so glorious. In one little verse that we're reading right now. So getting back to verse 20. So all of this, then Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up, and then finally to the house of the Lord. Now this is so beautiful. That word, the house of the Lord, it means Ephraim. Is that glorious? And the name Ephraim, you know what it means? Double fruit. It's the double portion. I mean, now let's just go back. And so here we go. We have the king and the strength of Jehovah, the Holy Ghost, on the glory dawning morning, rises up early and harvests the choice rank, those that have the full joy, right? To be taken up and exalted, praise God, the double fruit. What do you think? It is glorious, isn't it? It's marvelous. And I thank the Lord. It's always on his timing. I thank the Lord we can come in and enjoy this together. This isn't, and I appreciated Brother Hill always saying that to that brother. He went out and preached a sermon that one time. He said, yep, he did a good job. You got so deep, a bubble didn't come up. And I was like, oh, when I heard that, it was like, I don't think I ever want to preach, you know. But I thank God it's not that a bubble's not coming up. We have a cup that's full and running over. And we get this, and we thank the Lord. And I love these things that he brings out. And it's not to go in, and I mean this very sincerely, brothers and sisters. I can only testify of the testimony of the Lord in my life. And that's the only testimony you got anyways. It ain't yours, it's his. And I thank the Lord. And just as I tell you all the time, this isn't my ministry, it's his. Praise God, all right? It's just like, it's not your life, it's his. He tells you you're not your own, so whose are you? You're his. Praise God. So put it all back on him, amen, in such a wonderful way, not in a, well, it's your fault or whatever it is. And sometimes we can get there as Christians, you know that. But we don't need to be an ornery sort. We need to be a thankful sort. It's a privilege and it's a glory that truly, Lord, my life is hid in Christ. My life is in you. And I thank God that God dwelleth in me and I dwell in him. Yeah, it's beautiful. That oneness is so perfect. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that's the beauty of this word. It does increase our faith. It causes us to see this life exactly how we should see it. Seated together with Christ Jesus at the right hand of our Father. Amen. And knowing just like that. And understanding what this flesh is. Understanding what all the events of life are. And understanding verse 18 before you get to verse 19 of Romans 19. That, you know what? We're going to have hardship. We're going to have trial. We're going to have really hurtful things. But all of that's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. In you, and you, and you, and you, and me. It's going to be revealed. Praise God. But as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. How much glory is that going to be for you? How much you want? I want it all. I want to bestow onto him so much glory, it wipes him out. I want to hit him with the glory mother load. Praise God. And how does that happen? Grace. There's no glory but the grace of God that gives it to you. Amen? How much grace did he give you? He gave you all grace. For what? Everything. When? Always. Every need. Do you see how loaded we are? The backing that we have? The beauty of it? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God, increase that faith in me. Increase it. Increase the desire. Increase the excitement, the joy. Amen. It's not something that we can work up, but I'll tell you what, when you study this under the power of the Holy Ghost, when we come in the name of Christ, when we assemble ourselves together, edifying goes on in here. That's, you want to edify? You do want to edify. You know that, don't you? That's what the bride does. She adds to the usefulness of the husband. She brings spiritual encouragement to the body. It's to the increase of itself in love. That's what the body of Christ is. That's what the joints of the body are for. They're not for to beat each other down. They're not for to just isolate away and say, well, I'm going to win because I know. No, that's not it. If you're going to marry Jesus, you're going to marry his body. And if you love Jesus, your bridegroom, the head, you love Jesus, the bridegroom, the body. And if you know anything about Paul's gospel, the emphasis, especially to those that know the truth and are loving and that are running well, it's that your love would increase the more and more for one another. Why would I want to go this far and miss it? Why would I want to just go this far and have some head knowledge about this and to be able to recite it and not to have love for you? I mean, just pouring out of our lives for one another. And thanks be to God, I'm with that. And I'm with that, I know, even on the internet tonight too. Praise God. We don't have to be physically present. No. Till we all come. I think that's enough. I think it's time for him to come. I sure love you. And I know you love me. And I know it's only because of the love of Christ. But this is it. And I thank the Lord. I believe there's a few. This is all we want. Amen? Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.